Oh, crap. I got it. Sorry. Starting over. 3, 2.
There goes Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you've got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to this hoops-only edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum, and joining me is our guy, our number one basketball guy, Nate Zastro. Nate, how you doing, buddy?
We're doing well. Hoops is just less than a month away, and looking forward to watching some hoops. It's kind of came up on us quick here in the fall season, but looking forward to it. NDSU is looking to have a pretty solid, experienced squad, and looking forward to watching them play.
Yeah, and that's something we're going to get into in a second. But first, what a whirlwind. That is, that reminds me of when North Dakota State has football camp. A lot of the times they would get 3, 4, 5, 6 commits, sometimes 7, 8 commits the day of the last day of camp or the next day. And we'd be crazy busy at Bison Report, just stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. That's for a roster of 100 kids, 63 of which are on scholarship. Or, you know, that 100 kids dividing 63 scholarships is maybe a more accurate way to present that. North Dakota State, how many scholarships are available for basketball? Nate?
13.
Usually a 14 or 15 man roster, maximum 15, usually a 14 man roster. They added 3 players in arguably 8 hours, and the public found out of it. The public found out about it over the course of 32, 33 hours. Absolutely wild. What were you doing when all this was going on?
You know, it seems these kids were on visits recently, and it's very rare to get them to really make that commitment kind of right on the spot. Shows NDSU's coaching staff is really working their tail off, showing them the campus and really getting them to buy into the culture that they're building. And these kids, I mean, you can see in their quotes, they want to be a part of a winner. They want to have a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. And NDSU's proven that they're going to be in the running pretty much year in and year out, and they want to continue to build on that and what they've built already.
Absolutely. Go back in time a little bit here, and the first domino that fell, I believe, was Chicagoland point guard Damari Wheeler Thomas. That was what I remember, and it was a little bit funny because I was on a live show with Packers running back AJ Dillon while the news was breaking, so I had to mute my computer and start the post. And then when the Fetterson thing, I just threw my hands up in the air and made you do it.
Yeah, it was crazy. That literally happened within the span of hours. And obviously I knew Fetterson a little bit, being a Wisconsin kid, and knew of the name. But yeah, for that to happen just in the span of hours, and then all of a sudden the next morning hits and the kid from Nebraska commits as well. It kind of had us rolling here at Bison Report with trying to get some stuff out with the media. But just solid kids. They're going to help in different ways. They're obviously all different positions, but they'll have a lot to fill. I mean, NDSU is obviously a really experienced group this year, but those guys are going to move on, and NDSU is going to need to get some guys to keep building and reload.
Yeah, starting with Wheeler Thomas, kind of your guy, short point guard from the Milwaukee, Chicago area. He lives a little bit northwest of Chicago in Elgin, Illinois, or played at Larkin High School. I'm interested in this guy and also interested in kind of the fit because you have Tajavis Miller, 3-star, probably the biggest recruit in NDSU history. I think it's arguable with Andrew Morgan, you know, who you are higher on from just a prospect standpoint. And they kept calling Tajavis a combo guard, someone who can play the one and the two. And I've never really felt like that was much of a position at North Dakota State unless you were Cam Hunter, you're coming off the bench. Well, I don't think Tajavis Miller for more than maybe a year is going to come off the bench. Just my personal opinion. So that was interesting to me, but this kid is not playing two. 6 feet tall. He's got some Vinny vibes to him. He's got the ability to create his own shot in a way that I don't even know how many guys on the roster currently do. And that's what really stuck out to me. It's not that he's a poor passer, but a lot of what you saw on his highlight film from Huddle, and I know highlights are not the same thing as, you know, watching full games and really getting a grip on how good this kid can be. But a lot of his highlights were creating shots for himself. And I think even with this great roster that we're so excited about this year, number two in the Summit preseason poll, we'll get to that. There is not somebody at the end of the clock where you would just say, go get a bucket. Like at the end of the clock, you used to tell Paul Miller, just go get a bucket. At the end of the clock, you used to tell Vinny Shahid, go get a bucket. I don't know that there's a ton of go get a bucket guys on this roster now. Tamari Wheeler Thomas has high school tape that says I can go get a bucket.
Yeah. And he's a small little water bug point guard. And if you put him at the one and Miller at the two, if he is that combo guard, then you got two guys that you can say, hey, whoever's got the ball in their hands or whoever's rolling that game, hey, go get a bucket late in the shot clock. We know NDSU's style. They're going to kind of play inside out and try to space you out and break you down off the dribble. When it gets to late shot clock, it's getting in their point guard's hands and it's up to him to try to make a play, whether it's for himself. And with this roster, like you said, now it's been Griesel trying to make a play either for himself or trying to get others involved. In the past, like you said, it was Vinny, hey, go make a shot. Before that, it was Paul Miller, go make a shot. Before that, it was Lawrence Alexander, hey, go make a shot. But yeah, just kind of their style where they're trying to slow it down, make it a half court game. They definitely will have some guys that can make plays late shot clock for sure.
Absolutely. The second one, I think more of a project, in my opinion, I think in something, you know, that's your neck of the woods, Menominee, Wisconsin, not specifically Menominee, but I mean, Wisconsin basketball, you are an AAU coach in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Prep Hoops is certainly your dojo. I mean, you get it. You're plugged in there. Noah Feddersen is 6'9". And has kind of a, you know, not an incredibly impressive offer list, not an incredibly impressive statistical line. 13-6, you said, not in one of the better conferences in the state of Wisconsin. But you have talked to some folks that said he has really, really improved his stock during AAU and is kind of taking the leap or the jump that a lot of young kids that are big make prior to their senior seasons, or, you know, these kids develop at different rates.
Yeah. He's definitely an intriguing prospect. You can't teach 6'9" and that's great size, especially for NDSU. And I think the good thing about him coming in is NDSU will be pretty set on the front line with Grant Nelson and Morgan going forward.
Not a lot of stress early.
Yeah. Obviously, there's not going to be a lot of pressure on him to play right away. And all of a sudden, if NDSU gets a red shirt out of him and really develops him and he turns into something, well, then you got extra depth there in the front court if there's an injury or something like that. But definitely an intriguing prospect. He was ranked 29th in the state of Wisconsin at the latest rankings, which was the end of the high school season. He had a really good spring and summer from what I've heard. That ranking's obviously going to go up now. I know we don't base how good someone is really off rankings. Some people do. He's definitely an intriguing prospect that's going to continue to improve. And like I said, you can't teach 6'9". And NDSU's proven that they can develop big guys. And hopefully this is another one of those guys.
Yeah, and that's, you know, kind of something we talked about right before the show, which is, folks, it's not if a kid is 6'9 or 6'10 and he plays in a major upper Midwest market and he's already really good, he's not coming to North Dakota State. You know what I mean? Like if you have a polished, productive 6'9 or 6'10 player that plays in the Twin Cities or plays in the Milwaukee area or plays in the Chicago area, NDSU ain't getting him. So these, you know, kind of more dice rolls on these 6'9", 6'10" kids, not every big man prospect is hidden in Devil's Lake or won't come out of the combine to answer Fran McCaffrey's phone call. When you're Andrew Morgan and Grant Nelson, you have to kind of develop guys.
Yeah, and that's been NDSU's MO. They get those kind of under the radar players who they find a skill or two that are really good, and then Coach Richmond and his staff develop kind of the little things in those guys to make them a winner. And they've proven that's worked, and I think they're going to keep doing that going forward.
For sure, and finally, and we'll get we actually have this kid on the line. We're going to have a pre-recorded interview with Sam Hostreiter, and it is Hostreiter, not Hastreiter. I did find that out, so Bison fans lock that one away for when he gets on campus. But this was a wild story, and we're not going to get all the way into the specifics, but incredible juice put into the NDSU-SDSU rivalry as Sam Hostreiter commits to North Dakota State just 3 days after his twin brother, Jack Hostreiter, commits to South Dakota State and head coach Eric Henderson. Interesting fit. I like the fit. I think he is, you know, kind of in that Josh Streit mold, a 6'7" wing, someone who they're probably going to start out there at the three, but could eventually play some four in a small ball lineup. I think he's a really efficient shooter and seems to be a functional defender. Not a ton of offensive production. I believe averaged like 9 and 6 or something like that, but did well on the AAU circuit. And I think is like I said, one of those Josh Strike guys where maybe he doesn't need the ball in his hand constantly to be super effective and is just a nice role player and one that South Dakota State made an offer to and Omaha made an offer to. This kid can play basketball.
I think you hit the nail on the head with he's just a guy that's kind of going to be your role guy where he's going to make some athletic plays. He's going to defend. He's going to knock down open jumpers. He's not going to be your stud scoring 15-20 a game. Maybe he gets to that point. You never know. But you can't teach a 6'7 athletic wing. I mean, he's going to come in there and like you said, he's going to be effective. And if he can develop a couple different facets of his game, I think he's going to see the floor a lot sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. Cause I mean, that's something that we got to address here and that we haven't, you know, yet is it's my understanding. And I think everybody's kind of treating it this way that Sam Griesel and Tyree Edey are not going to take their COVID years. It is likely in my opinion that Sam and Rocky and Tyree are going to go out together on senior night in Fargo, and that'll kind of be the last hurrah, which honestly is fine. And would you like to have Sam Griesel for one more year? Would you like to have Tyree Edey for one more year? Sure. But at the same time, I mean, you're handing the program over to some studs. You're handing the program over to a Malik Hardin-Hayes and to a Andrew Morgan and Grant Nelson. You're handing the program over to a Jarius Cook and, you know, potentially guys like Bowden Skunberg and Willie Guy and Des McKinney. This is them with this recruiting class. That's a reload. That's not a rebuild. That's a reload. And I think that's really exciting for this team, but that's why this, you know, class has some size to it. And ultimately too, they might play around with a fifth because Grayson Heyman is on scholarship this year. That was a really cool moment, but that's something that doesn't always have to be part of the long-term plan. As far as he's a walk-on kid, is it nice to get him a year on scholarship? Sure it is. But if spring comes and somebody comes available in the late signing period, a la a Tyson Ward, a la a Vinny Shahid, you can do something there. You can do something in the transfer portal. They keep some flexibility, but they really have the point guard, the combo guard, the big, and the wing all taken care of in this class to add to last year's class, where you kind of got the same thing in that you got a point guard with 3 years to play in Willie Guy. You got a wing that you're really interested in, Josh Streit. And then, of course, you add the big in Andrew Morgan, and you're doubling down. And that's what you see. And I'm not picking on Noah Christensen, but like, you get a Noah Christensen and you get a Grant Nelson in back-to-back classes, probably only one of them is going to work out. And right now, Noah Christensen is at Concordia, and Grant Nelson looks like a star. Again, nothing against Noah Christensen, but just because you've recruited someone 1 year doesn't mean you're just set at that position, because recruiting is an inexact science. Not all of this works out.
Yeah, and I think Richmond's staff does a good job. I mean, no kid's spot or minutes are guaranteed. I mean, it's their job to continue to try to find a player that's better than what they currently have, and that's how recruiting is at all levels. I think they have a good roster set in stone of guys who are willing to buy in. And I think if the opportunity comes and they can go fill a guy late next signing period, I think they'll do that. But I think they're pretty set going forward. Now, you never know if you're going to get a guy that maybe doesn't play as much as he wants to in a certain season, and all of a sudden he enters the portal. So yeah, that transfer portal is a whole different animal, and it's something that is probably can't really expect anything. I mean, you kind of expect the unexpected there with guys moving around. But yeah, I think they've done a good job of just filling some different holes with different types of players, different types of role players. And I've said it all along, I trust how Coach Richmond develops these kids with those individual workouts and their small group workouts and their team workouts. So these kids are going to get better, and whether they fit into the mold of their program, that's kind of up to them and their work ethic.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to get into, this is a really fun conversation, folks, with Sam Hostreiter talking about his recruiting. You know, we talked to him in late July after a visit or after an offer, and just talked about like the last month and a half, 2.5 months, excuse me, of his decision-making process and why he's coming to North Dakota State, who wins when he plays his brother in one-on-one, how his brother ended up at South Dakota State, all this stuff we get into and more with Sam Hostreiter. Super, super fun. We'll play that for you right now. Joining us on the phone from the Bison Report Studios here in lovely Horace, North Dakota, is the latest of North Dakota State men's basketball recruits, committees, not quite yet signee, Sam Hostreiter. Sam, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hey, man. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, no problem.
So I kind of want to go a little bit back in time. You and I spoke in the DMs, as the kids say, in late July, and here we are on August 12th. What kind of in between, because we have a little bit of your backstory, and we'll get to that for our listeners that haven't read the story. By the way, listeners, go back, read the story. What happened between July 29th, I'm looking at our old article that we did together, and here on October 12th, were you waiting to see who might come in with an offer? Were you sort of mulling your side of the decision? Just walk us through the last, say, 2.5 months.
So pretty much since then, you know, because that was after they offered, after the AU season was over, I just kind of saw my options, and I knew I wanted to commit before the season, just for less stress, and I just wanted to. So I had visits set up, and they were my first visit, and even before then, like, we just had been talking on the phone and texting and just kind of building a relationship. So I knew kind of I knew after the visit, the first visit, like, I really enjoyed it. I met all the guys, really enjoyed them, and just it just felt right, and I kind of knew that. So then I had more visits set up. I went to those, and then afterwards, because my last visit was last week, That's when I made the decision that North Dakota State was going to be the right choice.
So when was this initial visit? When did you actually get on campus?
The first week in September.
Okay, and what did you do? And you don't have to go into every single detail, but it obviously had a big effect on you. I mean, it seems to mm-hmm. be one of the reasons why you pulled the trigger. What did you like? What made this home?
It reminded me a lot of Lincoln, where I'm from. And I've seen a lot of success and good development through like guys like Sam Griesel, who literally used to live a block away from where I am now. So that was promising. Plus just like meeting the coaches. Well, I met them first in person because I went to their elite camp in the summer. And then I talked to them again on the visit. And it was just like they were awesome. The facilities were awesome. And just everyone around kind of supported North Dakota State a lot. It felt like a home atmosphere.
You're good at this. I might have to get you in the media when you're done playing. You're walking me right to my next question, and that is the Lincoln, in the old days, they'd call this a recruiting pipeline. You're mm-hmm. Sam Griesel, who I don't believe went to the same high school as you did, but nope. Our guy Kobe did. And so
yep.
I'm wondering kind of what the age difference was there. Did you guys have a chance to play together? But just how much was the Lincoln connection a part of this for you?
So Sam, I didn't really know him until the visit. And I guess I worked out with him once with Thomas Vigilanco, who he went and trained with for a long time. And I kind of started midway through the summer. So we met first then. I remember because when he was a senior, I was a freshman. Or I was either freshman or eighth grader, but I remember watching him. And he was super good, but I never really like met him. And Colby, he was a senior my first year on varsity. So he took me under his wing and really helped me a lot. And he was a big part of kind of the success I had as a sophomore, which obviously wasn't as much as like last year and what it can be this year, but he really helped me out and I learned a lot from him my sophomore year in varsity.
Okay. All right. We got to rip the Band-Aid off now. Your brother, Jack,
yep,
has committed to South Dakota State.
Mm-hmm.
How does something like this happen?
So basically, well, it's definitely interesting. We both went on the visits together, and both had really good times at both places. But at the end of the day, we kind of felt that I felt that North Dakota State was where I belonged, and he felt that South Dakota State where he belonged and where we would fit in the best. So it just kind of ended up that way.
Was there no desire to be like the Martin twins or the Lopez brothers or the Griffins? I mean, did you want to play together and it just didn't work out, or did you kind of decide, well, we've done this in high school and maybe we just kind of grow apart and go our separate ways here?
I mean, it definitely would have been pretty sweet. But I mean, we knew we were going to have to split up eventually. So when we both kind of talked it over as a family and everything, and just decided that maybe we just belong in different places. I mean, we're still going to have this year together playing during the season, and obviously we'll still keep like a really close relationship, but we just kind of decided that we're going to have to split up.
So who wins when you guys play one-on-one?
You know it's me, but I mean, most of the time it's me. We have our days, but they're usually close. They're usually pretty good games.
So what are you focused on now? I mean, obviously the success of your high school season and where that team goes has got to be number one, but you mentioned wanting to have this decision taken care of so that you could play your senior year with a clear mind and not have to worry about recruitment, et cetera, et cetera. What are your goals? What are you working on? Where are you trying to get before you get on a college campus?
We're going for the state ship. I think last year we had a really good team, but there are a lot of seniors. And it just didn't work out last year. We lost by a buzzer beater first round in state, which kind of wasn't fun. But I think this year, even though there's going to be a lot of guys that don't have like a bunch of experience, I think we have the guys to do it. Because obviously me, Jack, then we have another kid named Brady Christensen who has a lot of Division II offers. He's like 6'5". He's pretty big. And he'll help us a lot this year. And then we have like a 6'8 sophomore who got some looks over the summer, but he's definitely has a lot of room to grow and has a bright future. And then just a bunch of solid guards. We got a transfer from another Lincoln school who I'm really excited about. And I just think this year, I mean, I think we really have a chance this year.
Awesome. Awesome. I think, you know, they're not going to let Rocky Cruiser come back for a sixth year. That I'm pretty confident in. But as far as, you know, sooner rather than later, Sam is going to be gone and Tyree will be gone and Andrew Coleman will be gone. What, when you got up there, how much basketball did you talk? Like, how much stock did you yourself take of like, okay, these are the guys that I'm going to be competing with on the wing. These are the guys that will still be here when I'm here. This is the team we might kind of be. Or was it more just like, North Dakota State is, this is where I want to be and we'll figure the basketball stuff out later?
I mean, definitely kind of went over both things. I think that I'll have a good opportunity good opportunity for me to prove that I could play hopefully early in my career. And that's just probably going to go through just like I said, like proving myself and just like working. But then also like, and this is one thing Coach Richmond like did on purpose was, so we had like hosts and they were all like younger guys. Like mine was Bowden. And then Jack's was Josh. And we kind of hung out with the younger guys. Like we still talked to the older dudes and hung out with them. But like for the majority of the time, we were with the dudes that like are going to be there when we're there.
Sure, that makes sense. Did you see Grant Nelson? Because that kid's an alien.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Getting kind of into, I guess, the fit side and deeper into the basketball side, did you and the coaching staff talk a little bit about where you might fit in? I mean, do you feel like a three or maybe a stretch four in the college game? Where do you feel comfortable playing? Where do you play for your high school team now? How do they feel like you fit? I know Coach Richmond always preaches positionless basketball, but you always start somewhere.
Yeah. I think I'll be more of a wing, a three, but also could play the four if needed, or could play the one or two, just kind of with my versatility, but probably mainly three. And that was one of the things that they really liked about me was just, especially defensively, I can really guard like perimeter and the post. And really stretch the floor on offense. And for my high school, I'd probably start at the four. But I think it's just kind of depend on the lineups.
Sure.
Because like me, Jack and Brady are all 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". And we can all play pretty much any position. So I think it'll just kind of vary.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. I'm sure Coach has explained to you that if he could win a basketball game 3-2, he would. Like, there's going to be expectations made of you on the defensive end. But offensively, what can Bison fans expect? I mean, do you like to shoot it? Do you like to put it on the deck? Are there spots on the floor you like to get to, pick and roll? I mean, what's your game? When we watch Sam Hostrader, what are we getting on offense?
I'm kind of an all-around dude. I can take it in. I could, like I said, score in the post. But I can also shoot. Like last year I shot, I think it was 41% from three, and it was like more than that before district. I think it was like 46 or something. I didn't shoot very well in a couple games. But like I'd say pretty much all around kind of, yeah.
Okay, makes sense. Any final message for Bison fans here on Bison Report Radio before we let you go?
Let's do this. I'm really excited. Can't wait to get up there.
All right, thank you so much, Sam.
Yep, thanks for having me.
All right, want to thank Sam for making himself available, taking the time. right after making that commitment announcement. I know it can be a busy time. You're celebrating with your family, et cetera, et cetera. So making the time for us is certainly appreciated, and honestly making time for Bison fans because they want to hear from the newest commitment to North Dakota State basketball. And that was really a interesting conversation. I think we covered a lot, and he seems excited to get up to campus. Okay, Nate, let's get into the meat and potatoes a little bit here. You took issue with the polls, and I kind of understand that, I guess. What we're talking about when we say polls, folks, is North Dakota State received 7 first place votes out of the possible 36 first place votes for the Summit League. They have entered the poll at number 2, right ahead of Oral Roberts and behind South Dakota State. The case for South Dakota State, I suppose, is simple. They won the league technically last year, but I think there are a lot of asterisks that can be put on that. Specifically, they only won 9 games. NDSU won 11. They won the league based on winning percentage. Because of when COVID issues hit South Dakota State, they played 8 home games and 4 road games. That's another, I would argue, asterisk on what they've done. And ultimately, they proved very little in Sioux Falls, as they have done a lot recently. South Dakota State has 1 Summit League tournament win in the last 3 years. That's crazy. NDSU, by the way, has 8. And I keep saying it every year. If South Dakota State's basketball team was as good as the preseason polls, they would be looked at like NDSU football. They would be an absolute dynasty. But year after year, they seem to disappoint. Rocky Cruiser, Sam Griesel, first team All-Summit League, along with Doug Wilson and Baylor Shireman of South Dakota State, Max Asmus, the preseason player of the year, out of Oral Roberts, and Josiah Alec from Kansas City. And then on the second team, Will Carius, Norah Friedel, Xavier Fuller, Tassos Comateros, and Tyree Eady of NDSU on that All-Summit League second team. The poll rounds itself out as such, and it looks really top-heavy to me, buddy, and we'll talk about this in a second. But Oral Roberts at 3, okay? And then that makes sense because Max can be Max. South Dakota at 4 is ugly to me. That means that this league might not be very good, because South Dakota, God bless the point guard kid. It's unfortunate, Plitzewhite, what happened to his knee. He's not playing this year. There's just no way. And if he is, it's going to be late in the year. I guarantee you he's not ready for the beginning of the season. He's gone. Stanley Amude, he plays for Arkansas now. Comateros was an afterthought on that team until those guys went down and he had a couple of pick and pop threes. And I guess that got people excited enough to put him on the second team. After that, you've got Western Illinois. And when Western is 5, the league has an issue, in my opinion. When Western is 5, the league has an issue. 6, UMKC, their stud point guard left. I think he's at Florida now. McKissick, I think, is at Florida. UND at 7, I don't even understand, because that whole roster is gone. Like, I don't even know who plays for UND at this point. And then you go down the list, you've got, in some form or fashion, Omaha. You got Omaha. I know St. Thomas was picked last. I actually doubt they'll finish last. I think people just don't really know anything about them. And then Denver is right above them at 9. Nate, have you got thoughts here? Because to me, this really looks like a top-heavy league where it's 2.5 teams and everybody else. And that I'm giving Asmus like all credit for calling Oral Roberts a half a team.
Yeah, I'll start with kind of the rest of the league. I mean, like you said, if Western, the years that they've had, now Rob Jeter, I'm sure, is going to start getting some kids there. He's probably going to be a transfer portal type of guy. But if they're picked 5th, the league's probably a little down this year. I do think it's a very top-heavy league. I think your 2.5 number's about good, because Asmus can go out and beat any team on any given night if he wants to, if he goes off. My issue, I guess my biggest issue with South Dakota State is it's about what you do in the postseason. And yeah, they won the league last year based off win percentage and a weird season all around. NDSU returns their whole roster that made the Summit League Championship and lost in overtime. And yeah, you return Douglas Wilson, Shireman, Friedel. Like, yeah, your roster is really good. But they haven't shown anything in the postseason. Now, am I kind of glad they're picked first again? Yeah, the pressure's on them again. And if they don't win it, then that's another underachieving year for them. I think it's going to put a little bit more of a chip on the shoulder of NDSU. Obviously, they're an experienced group. They know the task at hand and what they need to do to win it. And preseason polls ultimately don't mean jack squat.
No, so, they don't.
Yeah, it's nice to see that you're recognized by the league to be in the top two, but ultimately it matters if you're cutting down those nets in Sioux Falls in March. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to just address UND really briefly because, oh my goodness, Sabian Sims, who was the really, like, he wore number one, he was long, had long hair, really seemed like an athletic kid. He hit the portal. He is at Northern Kentucky now. Rebracha hits the portal, ends up having to fill Luca Garza's shoes at Iowa. Best of luck. And then the freshman of the year, Tyree Iheanacho, in the Summit League, they get a good player in, and I believe he ends up at James Madison of all the places in the world. And so they lose basically their best three guys off of last year's team. And Deshaun Allen Eikens leaves as well. I know Igbanugo is going to be back, and so is Penoam. And Penoam was a good shooter and really hit some huge threes in that overtime game that NDSU lost up in Grand Forks. But unless Sather has a bunch of awesome rabbits to pull out of his hat, that team's going to be real bad. And are picked seventh in the league. South Dakota, I think, is going to be pretty bad and are picked fourth in the league. So really, really interesting. And it makes staying focused and beating teams that aren't as good as you very important. And it makes winning, you know, it makes going at least 3-1 against Oral Roberts and South Dakota State paramount. I think that's incredibly important.
Yeah, and I think I believe they went back to the where they paired teams up. So you're playing two home games against a paired teams, and you're playing two straight on the road again. So you're not like mixing it up again. So that's going to make those road trips where you're playing two straight road games where you need to beat teams that aren't as good as you. It's going to make you stay ultra focused and make sure that you take it one game at a time and get those road sweeps. It's not going to be. We always talked in the past about how a road split would be great. Well, this year there's going to be a lot of two-game road trips where they're going to need to sweep, or it's going to be out of the conference title race type thing this year. So
yeah, and super interesting the way that things roll out. And I'm just going to briefly go through the schedule, and we'll get you guys out of here on this basketball-only podcast because this isn't going to be the season preview pod. We'll get to that. So what they've done is they've disconnected the series against UND from the main schedule, and that's December 22nd, right before Christmas, home conference opener against UND. That should be a lot of fun just because, like as we said, we're not really sure how UND is going to be any good. And then they'll go to Grand Forks, again, detached on February 26th. There's no other game that weekend. So your attached schedule is home against the South Dakota schools on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, December 30th and January 1st against South Dakota State and South Dakota, respectively. Then at Denver, at Omaha, which is an interesting little kind of major city road trip. That one's kind of cool. Then you host St. Thomas and Western. Then you go out to UMKC and Oral Kansas City and Tulsa. Again, kind of a major city road trip. That is followed by at the South Dakota schools. So you go at USD, followed by at Brookings on January 27th to 29th. Then they have a really nice looking home stretch from a finishing strong standpoint. And that is home Omaha, home Denver, February 3rd, February 5th, in Macomb and at St. Thomas, February 10th, February 12th, home against Oral Roberts on the 17th, home against UMKC on the 19th, and then finishing their season, hopefully with something on the line, February 26th, Saturday at UND. I like the way that that shakes out, with maybe the exception that that home game against South Dakota State is A, really early in the conference season, and B, potentially not in front of very many students on New Year's Eve Eve.
Yeah, they got the big rivalry games at home. I think we mentioned this when the schedule first came out, when students are on Christmas break. So hopefully we can get some students back for those games, and or else just get our Bison Nation out there for those games. It's a huge three-game home stretch to start the conference season. It would be really awesome to start 3-0 before heading on the road. As you can see, or as you just mentioned, there's a huge four-game road trip there kind of in the middle of the season with some kind of tough places to play. I mean, UMKC proved that they're a tough place to play. Obviously, Oral Roberts will be a tough place to play, and then you got the South Dakota school. So that's going to be a huge four-game stretch there where I think 2-2, 3-1 is keeps you in the race. You can't go any less than that. So those three home games to start the conference season are going to be huge.
Absolutely. All right, Nate, thank you so much for your time today, buddy. Thank all you wonderful Bison fans for listening. Have a great rest of your week, and go Bison.